Well, it's good to see each of you tonight, and I hope you have your Bibles, and I hope you study them. That's what we're going to do tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And before we begin, let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this time together tonight, especially to be able to gather in this place and to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the word that was sent down from heaven. It's forever settled in heaven, and it's a word that is able to save our souls unto the uttermost. And we pray that each one here tonight may know the saving power of the Word of God in their lives. And Father, we just thank you that in these last days that you're still at work. We thank you for the privilege of knowing men like Dr. Ron Beatty and Dr. Gary Webb. We thank you for the work that David Cloud is doing. We thank you for the churches that he's planting over there in Nepal. We thank you for the work that Weldon Jones worked in for so many years, and we pray that you'll bless those churches. And we thank you for Pastor Carr and for the privilege of observing a soldier of yours and to know him and the joy of knowing him. And we thank you for our pastor. We pray that you will bless him, his life, and his work here. And we just thank you for all of these things, Lord. And we pray that you will bless our time around your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, this is a passage that we're all quite familiar with, but it is just the depths of the truth here are just unsearchable. And we do want to search a few things out tonight from this passage. It says there, we just read, the serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. This question, yea, hath God said, that's the question that Satan asked Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he's been asking it to the human race ever since. He asked this question on a regular basis to you, to me, to everyone we know. And the most powerful part of those few words is the part that comes at the end. The question mark. The question mark. This kind of questioning of God's word makes man the arbiter, makes man the critic, makes man the judge of the word of God. And these are views of God's word that man is willingly ready to take to himself, even as Eve did here with a little help from the serpent. Not only was God's word brought into question, but there was adding to it. There was taking away from it. There was putting private interpretations to it. Man, with the help of the serpent, wants to be the definer and the determiner of what truth is. That started from the very beginning of the human race, and since that time, it's only grown. These are positions that man relishes, because what does that do? That elevates him to the status of a god. Or, as the serpent told Eve, ye shall be as gods. And you're going to have knowledge. By the way, knowledge that God is presently withholding from you. You'll be like God. And of course, the modern Bible versions, those that produce them, those that distribute them, those that teach out of them, those that preach out of them, they essentially do this and more. And that would include every church in America, with just a few exceptions. That's where we've come to from this initial question, yea, hath God said? Every church in America, with just a very few exceptions. The basis of all sin is doubting God's word. It's what Lucifer succumbed to. It's what brought the death of the entire human race. The word is God. The word is God. As John 1:1 states, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And this very subtle, clever, deceptive pattern of temptation, it worked to perfection for the devil the very first time he used it on the human race. And he possessed the body of this serpent, and it worked to perfection, and he's been using it to ever since. Why change? It works perfectly. It's the pattern that he uses today. He knows how to exploit the weaknesses of man, because in our nature, it's so easy to be tempted. And that's what the devil does. He tempts man with the desire to be his own deity. And that is a replica of the desire of Lucifer, son of the morning, who also wanted to be like the Most High. And that's why the Lord Jesus claimed to the people of his day, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." Again, the serpent's question was this: has God said you shall not eat? Has God said ye shall not? Is that what God said, ye shall not? Eve could have and should have said, yes, that's exactly what God said. But that wasn't her reply. In chapter 2 and verse 17, there he says it. Thou shalt not eat. Has God said, ye shall not? Yes, that's exactly what, that's precisely what God said. But instead, Eve took something away, or she removed some of God's words. Look in chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Eve didn't say of every tree, as God said, but she said, we may eat of the trees. She left out the words every tree. And that's what Lucifer asked her. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And of the only tree that they were prohibited from eating of, Eve added to God's word, saying, neither can we touch it. You see, man needs a prohibition on him. He's not capable. Man is not capable of being his own master. He's not capable of being a god. He's not capable of making his own choices. He's not capable of ruling his own spirit. And the story of the Garden of Eden, if anything, reveals that much. And you pick up any major news story from any major media source these days, and it's as clear as crystal. Man is just not able to be his own God. Man has made a mess of this world because he wants to be his own God. And we can make a mess out of our life too. When that old serpent gets his foot in the door and we want to be our own little God. And the nature of every heart, including Eve's, including yours, including mine, is to go our own way. That's what's in our hearts, to go our own way. And the evidence of that is what the prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned what? Everyone to his own way. You remember that old crooner, I think that's the word, crooner, Frank Sinatra. He summed it up pretty good. His song, "I Did It My Way." I did it my way. That's what man wants. That's exactly what the heart of every human wants. He wants to live his life his way. You want that. I want that. That's in our nature. It's in our hearts. It's in every It's in every fiber of our flesh. We want to live life our way. Man wants to be his own God. He wants to come down to the end of his life and, like old Frank Sinatra did, look back on it all and with great pride say, I did it my way. That's what's in the heart of man. And the devil exploited that desire in Eve by lying to her, by causing her to doubt and disobey the word of God. She yielded to the serpent's temptation, and you can do the same, and so can I. She yielded to the serpent's temptation of being her own God, and she paid the ultimate price for it, and that's the price everyone will pay. James tells us that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires, his own lusts, and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's what Eve received. The temptation that Eve yielded to brought to her life the fruit of sin and death. And that's what it brings to your life. That's what it brings to my life. That's why God said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, don't be deceived about this. God is not going to be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to our flesh, we will reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And this pattern that we read about here in Genesis chapter 3, the lust, the desire that drew Eve into the devil's snare, it's the pattern of lust that draws your heart away from the Lord and to your way. And my heart does the same thing. God must be withholding something from me. Because I just don't have what I want. So God must be withholding from me. And I certainly deserve more. Or I guess the more appropriate word today is, I'm certainly entitled to more. The only thing we're entitled to and the only thing we deserve, as has been mentioned more than once here, is to burn forever in the lake of fire. That's where we all should be right now, this moment, tormented in the flames. That's what we deserve. And anything short of that is the grace of God. And the next time you find yourself disgruntled, as we all can become, think about that. It will certainly make a difference to truly think about that. Oh, well, this person didn't treat me right. This person took advantage of me. I'm not getting what I deserve. Well, think about truly what you do deserve. And but for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you would be right now at this moment. The serpent deceived Eve. And his appearance in coming to her was as an angel of light. You know, Eve didn't think. She surely didn't think that she was communicating with the devil himself. She probably, in her heart, thought, just as we do, that these communications that they were from God. I mean, if the serpent needed credentials, he certainly had them. And one credential that he displayed to Eve was in the form of a miracle. Man really is impressed with miracles. I mean, he talked. He talked. The serpent talked. That alone was enough to distract Eve enough away from the Word of God for the tempter to cast his spell on her. I mean, Eve must have been able to see the beasts of the field, including the reptiles, and they weren't talking creatures. And yet here's this beautiful serpent. Not the kind that we think of today. This was before the fall. This was before the curse, when God looked upon everything and said, "It is good." And it talks to her. Satan was using the body of the serpent. God was allowing Satan to speak through this serpent, just as he allowed Balaam's ass to speak in the book of Numbers. And in 2 Thessalonians, it states that the working of Satan, his work, is with lying wonders and all deceivableness. That's the devil is in the business of giving out lying wonders with all deceivable. He does it all the time. It worked so well with Eve that he's never changed it. He's been working that way ever since. And the devil's tactics are found in churches. Oh, yes, they're found in churches. We know this from the letter of the Apostle Paul to a New Testament church in 2 Corinthians. He said in chapter 11 and verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted." Oh, that's one of his favorite working places. In churches who profess to know the truth. There's more deception going on in the minds and hearts of even Christians today and in New Testament churches today than tongue can tell. I mean, it's getting thick. And the devil, it's because for one reason, he has no shortage of even Christians who are walking daily in no fear, with no fear of what they are by nature. That should, what we're reading about Eve and knowing, that should be alarming to us. And not only that, it's happening throughout the world as we read the warning of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 that tells us, in fact, that the devil and Satan is deceiving the whole world. The whole world he's deceiving. So, how is he deceiving you? How is he deceiving me? Well, one thing, he uses the very same tactics that he used on Eve. The idea that the serpent sowed into Eve's thoughts to get her to doubt God and trust her own judgment was an offer to Eve of being her own God. And she just couldn't pass that one up. That was one that she couldn't pass on. "Ye shall be as gods." That was flattering. And Eve succumbed to that. And we have to be careful because the heart, your heart, my heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Eve succumbed to that, and man has surrendered to that lying wonder ever since that day. Proverbs 28:26 warns us, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The question that Eve was thinking about in her heart, in her mind, with a little help from the serpent, is why would God keep from her that which could impart knowledge to her? Why would God do that? That which could open her eyes, why would God hold that? That which could make her into a god. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That was the question. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And by the end of the words, of the very first question, the serpent asked her, he had Eve thinking on his terms. If that's not a lying wonder, then what is? Her mind was no match. It was no match for the second most powerful mind in the universe, even though she obviously thought that she had the ability to engage that mind. The only mind that can match the mind of Satan is the mind of Christ. Eve had no idea what she was getting into. The same as many people today, as we look around us, the same as even ourselves can so easily get into. The reasoning of Eve was like so many Christians today. We make choices. We decide things that, and sometimes we have no idea what we're getting into. That's a recipe for disaster. Sometimes we have no idea where our choices are going to be taking us. And to live that way, to think that way, to act that way without consulting God. Lord, what will thou have me to do? That without doing that, without consulting God in the daily affairs of our lives, it's going to result in disastrous decisions, just as it did in the life of Eve. And the devil's lying wonder is that God is withholding from you things that are so desirable. You're able to make your own choices. You know, God places these restrictions on you, these boundaries, but you know, you're totally capable of setting your own self-imposed restrictions. You're able to do that. Those are powerful lying wonders. I mean, what about all the things that God gave to Adam and Eve? Look in chapter 1 and verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. What about all those things? Fruitfulness, replenishing the earth, subduing it, dominion over everything on the earth. What about those things? That wasn't what the serpent was focused on. The serpent was focused on that one thing that was prohibited. And that's what we have to be careful of. Why does God place restrictions? Why is there this prohibition? Why can't you eat of every tree in the garden? God says, you shall not eat of it. The devil says, you shall eat of it. God says, you shall surely die. The devil says, you shall not surely die. So whose will is going to prevail? God's will or man's will? The serpent tricked Eve, using her own desires into placing her will above the will of God. Now, if you don't think that can happen in your life, you are deceived. You shall be as gods. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Good for food, the lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes. It was nice to look at that. It was nice to look. It was pleasant to look at that. The lust of the eyes. And it was a tree desired to make one wise. The pride of life. John tells us in his little epistle, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So what was the result? What was the fruit? What was the real fruit that she ate of because of her unbelief? In verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Shame, fear, a sense of being naked. They set out to sew fig leaves together. They sewed. They made the works of man. He's been working ever since to try to make his own self-made acceptable style of religion. Man's been in that, doing hard at that work ever since then. Here's where it all started. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. It's not our clothes that's going to hide our shame. It's God's clothes. Isaiah the prophet talked about that in chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me. With what? Fig leaves? No, with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Not our clothes, God's clothes. And then, just like we are so prone to do, even if we don't do it outwardly, we do it inwardly. Oh, yes, we do it. They both set out to consign the blame to others. The man said, the woman that you gave me. The woman said, the serpent. And so in verse 16, he said unto the woman, you're going to have great sorrow. And in verse 19, you've bought the farm, Adam. Death is the result of your choices. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till you return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The beautiful part of this story, and that's a whole nother sermon, was Adam. The New Testament tells us that Eve was the one who was deceived, but Eve was totally deceived in this whole chapter. She never saw it coming. But Adam did. But Adam, out of his love, Adam is an Old Testament type of Christ who took upon himself our sins because of his love for his bride, the church. And that's what Adam did here. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was. He knew what he was doing. The woman was deceived. And that's a beautiful Old Testament type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we have hearts that are full of deception. But our Savior was willing to partake of the penalty for your sakes and mine. I hope we can sort of get a grasp, you know, sort of lay hold to these things and take them with us and meditate on them, chew the cud, and let it be a difference to us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the precious Word of God. And Lord, how deep your Word is. It's very deep. And we thank you for the things that we're able to see, which are so small. But one day soon, we'll be able to see perfectly. And we'll be able to understand perfectly. And we're longing for that day, Lord, when death shall be swallowed up in victory. We thank you, Father, that you give us times like this that we can gather together and open your word and be taught out of your word. And again, we look forward to the soon coming day when we will be able to sit at the feet of our Savior and to hear, to see him and to be in his presence. And to let him expound his word to our hearts. And what a glorious, victorious day that will be. And we just look forward to it. And we pray that you'll help us in the meantime to just go through life day by day with humility. And asking you to lead us and guide us and direct us. And to do for us what we're totally incapable of. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.